Today's readings speak of the unity that God desires among his people. We hear images in the first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel of God gathering his nations into one nation, a kingdom never again to be divided. We also hear the image in the first reading and in the responsorial psalm of a flock, one flock being guided by one shepherd. And finally, in the gospel, most significantly, we hear about a gathering of the dispersed children under one family of God. Ultimately, it is the revelation of God's plan and the mission of Jesus that there would be formed one family of God united to our God the Father in heaven in this one family of love in the image and likeness of the Most Holy Trinity. Today's liturgy, I think, points out two perspectives to this unity and communion that God desires. The first perspective is going to be something that we see in the gospel, and that is, namely, that ultimately nothing can frustrate the plan of God from being fulfilled. Today's gospel, we hear the prophecy of the high priest Caiaphas, who says, "Better that one man die for the nation than that the whole nation would perish." And this is kind of an ironic prophecy of Caiaphas, because what he's really intending is basically to say that some of the upheaval caused by the preaching of Jesus among the leaders of the Jewish religion at that time, namely the Pharisees and Sadducees, and kind of leading some people to follow him as the Messiah, that ultimately it may catch the attention of the Romans and lead to the nation being crushed. And to this extent, Caiaphas is thinking, if we get rid of Jesus, then we don't have to worry about this Roman possibility taking place, that we would be crushed. But of course, as the gospel reveals, what it's really referring to, or the intended meaning of God in the sacred scripture, is ultimately that Jesus is the one who is going to freely lay down his life as the Messiah in order to save all of God's people from sin, misery, and ultimately the consequences of death. And this mission of Jesus is something which he is determined to carry out and which ultimately does in fact take place, and he is successful in it, and nothing or no one can stop him from laying down his life as this perfectly pleasing offering to his Father. But the second perspective of God's plan for unity and the mission of Jesus is that at the heart of this family of love and communion that God calls us to, which is really the communion of the Most Holy Trinity, it is really a communion of love, and love is something which always has to be freely accepted. In other words, it isn't going to be a forced unity that God is going to impose and inflict upon us, but rather it is one that he makes possible and one that he invites us to come and share in. But he'll never force us. And this is the reason why to this day disunity continues to persist in the world, and unfortunately sometimes even within the church. So I think today's liturgy is really inviting us to two things. In the first place, to ponder and to be hopeful. To really remember that ultimately, nothing can frustrate or stop the plan of God. The victory won by Jesus is definitive, and the victory that God plans at the end of time is also set in stone and will in fact take place. Nothing or no one can change this. But the second dimension of it, of course, is a reminder that we too always have to strive to overcome sin, because sin is really the great creator of disunity and of division. And it ultimately is what blocks us from fully participating in this family of love and unity that God calls us to. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today on the brink of Holy Week, let us thank God for this gift of communion, love, and unity, and the invitation to join his family that he constantly offers to us and that he, in fact, has won for us. And let us ask for the grace that we would always strive to block out any obstacles which impede us from joining and living fully into this family of love and communion, and with the most notable obstacle, of course, being sin. And so we ask for the grace to always strive to overcome sin in our life and to be holy. Amen.